So that went exactly the way we predicted. South Africa whitewashed in a T20 series against a good West Indian side. And to be fair, we never looked like we had a chance. They completely outclassed us, and kudos to the West Indians. But there has been a lot to look out for with the South African side as well. Mostly bad, with a few good things. Now, I've got the boys back with me today, and we're going to chat all about that T20 series. And then, of course, include FIFA yet again. So, boys, what did we make of that? We didn't have high expectations, but I don't think the expectations were as low as what we ended up seeing. Divi, what did you make of it?
Yeah, like you said, it's exactly what we expected. That first game, I think, you know, we started off very badly with the bat. I think we did well to recover and get to a decent score. But, you know, last week, Boy Mobs, you did say Athanase was your man. And in that first innings, he showed it. Through the leg side, very strong. And we just couldn't keep them under control on the first six. And then when Puran came back out, it was carnage. And the second game, you know, kind of the opposite of what happened. We, you know, bowling still was pretty average, but we did okay to keep them to sort of 170 odd, 180, and then started well with a bat, and then just didn't finish strong at all. And the last game, look, it was by that stage, you know, we weren't playing for much, and the rain did hamper us a bit. We didn't start well before the rain either. You know, a lot of dot balls. Started getting going, which is quite difficult. We saw something in the last, I think the last five or six balls with three boundaries, and then went off for rain and then just never recovered. Weren't able to get ourselves in, and, you know, Doc with Lewis didn't help us because we lost quite a few wickets. Look, some bright spots. I think Quena was all right. But other than that, it was a tough series for us.
I think Stubble definitely deserves a shout.
Yes, no, 100%. Stubble definitely deserves
a shout. Look normal again. It looked like the Stubbs that we know.
100%. But it looks like the only guy that's in any sort of form with the bat there. Everyone struggled. Not a bad start for a guy like Patrick Kruger. I think he put his hand up, I guess, especially in that first innings. And he didn't look too bad with the ball either. I think we've got to accept that in this form of the game, you know, you're going to disappear for some runs, but I think he did all right with the ball. But he definitely put his hand up when the team needed him in the first game with the bat.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with Divi. It looks like in each of the games we played well in bits and pieces. Yeah. But the one glaring thing was the bowling attack. We could see that it was a very much a second string bowling attack. I don't understand why we would rest our entire frontline bowlers. That's KG, Nohier, Jansen, Kesh, Shamsi. All of the bowlers that were there in the World Cup, apart from Bartman, were not in the series. So I don't understand what we're trying to plan for. The West Indies guys, their squad was obviously a little bit different, but a huge chunk of it was still their World Cup squad, bar a few players that they rested. And they haven't played significantly less cricket than South Africa. So I don't understand why we rested so many, let's call them first team players, even with the batting. Klaassen, okay, Miller is on his way out, but he's not officially retired. But I just didn't understand that point. And you could see the bowling lineup just looked way out of the depth. I mean, you got a guy, Shea Hope, that's batting at a strike rate of 200 in each game. I agree, Quena's still young, he did well. Patrick Kruger, he didn't show much to say that he's a better all-rounder than Jansen. He's not going to dislodge him. Mulder, I think, was just there to make up the numbers, play the game in the last game. Batting in parts. I had a thought earlier today that it looks like Rickleton is going to be our version of Sanju.
I thought the exact thing while watching
him. When he gets his chances, he just looks trash. And then he goes on the domestic circuit, smashes it up, we all call for him. And then when he's in the team, just doesn't perform. All of the games he got starts, he just never took on.
People have been likening him to Sanju for the same reason. He seems like a domestic bully, where he makes a lot of runs at home, and then he goes out to play for South Africa and it never clicks. But back to what you guys are both saying, the bowling attack looked putrid, absolutely shocking. We went in with an eight string bowling lineup. Otneil, fair enough, was in the World Cup. wasn't that great, was decent in bits. I think Quena deserves every shout. He's only 18, just over 18. Yeah. The 19th he's over the
back
ball
to write
in the
his
second.
Exams,
no? Exactly. Yes, he still has a matric exam threat. 19th over in the second T20. Went for 4. And I think kudos to him for having a bit of gusto, a bit of guts. Even after he got pumped in the last game, he came back. The last over went for 12. But in the context, was much better. Batting-wise, as with the questions we had previously, why was Rasi there? Apparently, he was there for experience, but I don't know. It didn't look like anything like it. Riza, same old questions. Had one knock, and then essentially that 9 of 20 cost us in the final game. I understand. He didn't think, okay, yeah, rain, blah, 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 blah. But you should never be scoring 9 of 20.
Was gone, so.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not really going to look too much into the last game.
Masav is a 13-over game, lots of rain.
The second
blah,
match.
Blah.
It's the second match. They were primed to win. What? They were 113 after 13, 14 overs.
And then
lost 7 for 20.
Absolutely
7 for 20.
Shocking.
Nah.
And I think captain needs to take a bit of the stick, because Markram wasn't great yet again. It's been happening repeatedly now, and at a point we need to go, hold on. You're getting a bit too many chances here in and amongst all of the nonsense that's going on. Just to come back very quickly, Patrick Kruger, I think, even though you're right, he's not going to dislodge Marco, I think he's definitely a better option than some of the others that are in and around that that spot. So definitely kudos to him for putting his hand up. I think he bowled quite decently, used the slow ball quite well. And that knock in the first game was solid, to say the least. But yeah, West Indies, what did we make of the key performers? Shea Hope, definitely one. Nicky P, definitely one. Akil Hussain.
Nicky P, bro, yeah.
Yeah, look, that batting lineup is strong. I mean, Athanase at the top. Shea Hope, amazing. Nicky P, destructive. We didn't see much of the rest of the batting lineup. I think Powell, I think, played the first two games, didn't get many, but had a couple to the boundary. But geez, that bowling lineup, I think, is what set, you know, was the difference between the two teams. South African bowling lineup, very inexperienced, all over the place. But that West Indian side with the ball did very well.
Yeah, because the spinners, they bowled well, but the top three wicket takers in the series were their frontline seamers. That just goes to show how bad our bowling lineup was. Romario Shepherd, he played the third seamer well. That guy, Matthew Ford, to be honest, I never heard of him before the series.
Matthew Forehead.
Matthew Forehead. We'd like to.
Have you seen that before? It's bigger than mine. I call him Matthew Forehead.
And on that note, you'd like to welcome back Coombs, who returns from his hiatus, to mention the first thing that you said was nothing cricket related. Matthew Forehead. to be fair, I don't know how Matthew Ford got wickets in that first game. It seemed like nonsense bowling that was just getting clipped, mistimed to the fielders. But yeah, Coombs, we'll catch you there then. What did you make of the series?
Yeah, I don't have many words from my side. Utter disappointment. But I think we said before, I remember back from the other episode, that it's a time to try things out. I think from all the trial, there's one takeout for me, and that was Stubbs. I'm sure you guys feel the same.
Yeah, fair enough. Just before you joined us, we were literally thinking Stubbo was a bit of a standout. 144 runs, solid. Definitely going to be a fixture in the white ball format going forward. We have questions about the red ball, but we'll leave that for another day. Now, what do we do going forward with this T20 side? Do we rejig again completely, throw away all of these guys? Or keep some of them in.
I mean, Jason Smith was just there for the ride. Maybe give him a shot. Riggleton, I think you have to persist with him. Riza spot is probably under some risk at the moment. But I think they'll still keep him on. I don't see them changing much. We know that the bowling lineup is going to be completely different. But what do you do with the top order? We need to score runs. And we need to have a lower order that can chase. We can't lose three wickets. Stubbs consolidates, then accelerates at the end. We need a solid middle to lower order. That's what we need.
Yeah, I agree. I think that opening both spots at the top of the order is, is going to be critical. We obviously all want Rickleton to do well. Unfortunately, he's been struggling. Reza, I think, what do you do? I think you probably have to persist with him as well. Give him another go. I mean, it's...
I don't know about that. I think so, Reza... Look, Dzorzi is there.
Yeah, okay. That was my other thing was, Dzorzi comes in and then you've got to drop one of your openers. You probably won't drop Rickleton because he'll keep. So, yeah, I think...
But then it goes back to what we were saying last week as well. If we can do that, I'm all for that. Then we have more players across all three formats.
Yes.
So he's out. I think guys like... I don't think Donovan Ferreira.
Oh, shocking.
I'm not related to that guy.
He's a waste.
Yeah, you did say last week that he's been selected on name, basically. And we saw the same thing. He offered us absolutely nothing. Agreed. Absolutely nothing.
Agreed. I think the only difference, with obviously, like Kov mentioned, the bowling lineup will be different. I think they should drop one of the openers, probably Reza, like you said, and then... Give Deval Brevis even a go in there somewhere. Do you know what I mean? Give Matthew Bredsky a go. I think you can get rid of Rassie Fonadison from the side now. I think that sort of call to add him to the side, they thought, you know, bring some calmness to that middle order. He's been and done that before, but he just looked out of sorts, looked like he hadn't played a lot of cricket. He just looked like he wasn't there. So I think he could probably go Donovan Ferreira out and then Reza out, and then you can keep the rest. I think Patrick Kruger, his spot again, he'll come under pressure.
Would you consider bringing Riley back?
Now, that's my question. I don't know if you guys know whether you can put this online, if you guys know. Why did he fall out of contention with the selectors? He was there for, obviously, first he was in the science.
The call back initially.
After the callback, when he came back,
then he came back.
World Cup, I think he was a hit or miss, and we all know that, right?
Yeah, but I mean, but his hit or miss is like, so Reza, for example, even when he does hit, it's not an innings that'll
put it's the game miss.
From the opposition. Yeah. And Reza's miss, like we saw in the third game, was like 9 of 20, which is a big,
that was terrible.
You might as well play with one less player, you know what I mean? Yeah. Whereas Riley, it's like 100 of 45 balls, or it's 0 of 2.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's not going to hurt you. He's not going to be there and say, okay, I'm here to.
It'll give you some level of excitement as well. I mean, I wasn't excited watching South Africa bat at any point,
except when
Stubbs was.
When Stubbs,
I mean,
was, going,
Stubbs was firing. We showed no intent. We didn't attack the bowling. The guys were able to bowl at us. And,
because even in the rain affected game, you would think, I mean, series lost, let's just go out there and swing for the fences.
100%. 100%. But it's a top of the order. I mean, another one could be interesting. David Miller coming to the end of his career. Do you try him up there? Say, have a go at the top of the order? That'll be interesting, I think.
That'll be fun to watch at the very least.
if you've got finishes like Klaassen, now you're wasting because you've got Klaassen and Miller down the bottom.
And
now
Stubbs. You've got Stubbs. Exactly.
So, I mean, now... There's no reason for you to. You've got three proper finishes, proper boundary hitters.
You got Markram as well.
Look, but Miller did well at four for Gujarat not too long ago.
Yeah.
But maybe Markram. Maybe Markram opened Miller at three. And before that,
have a go.
I don't know. I'm starting to get a bit shaky with Ed Markram. My patience is wearing a little bit thin with it because we back him on the idea that he's of sound technique. He looks like a batsman. He should be. The pedigree is there. The talent is there. We've seen it from the start of his career. What's happening, though? Keeps going.
No, it's a form thing. And I've been an Aiden Markram.
But it's been a long patch of bad form.
Yeah, but it's also captaincy, etc., etc. And he is a good captain because he's an unselfish captain. And remember, bad form, Aiden Markram drops himself down, sends in, you know, the guys that are in good form, and I like that about him. I think that he's got that sound technique. And even when we watched him play, you know, he's crunching the ball on the offside. He's hitting those covered, offside sixes, etc. And it takes something special to do that. I think it's a form thing. He's given us just a little, the last real special innings I remember from Markram was that fastest 100 in, was it the ODI World Cup? That he cracked like 100 or 40 balls or something like that. But I feel like Markram may come into a patch of like 1 or 2 years, like what Klaassen just had, and give you this amazing spell. I hope it happens. But yeah.
Aren't we doing the same thing that it seems like we all do this? We do it with Sanju. We're doing it with Rickleton. We've done it with Markram. You see batsmen of sound technique that look like good cricketers, and it's hope that drives you to believe they're going to do well. I don't know. I think it's probably because we appreciate good batsmanship, but yeah, I'm just a bit worried.
The thing is, I think we've also got to consider the way the CSA looks at Markram. I mean, he's an all-format player. They probably earmarked
Definitely.
him from early days that he's going to take over the
Yeah, from
captaincy
that
at
under
some
19
point.
World Cup.
Exactly. And they're going to persist with him. And look, they might as well, because I mean, who do you, if you're going to drop him, who do you bring in the side?
Exactly.
Wait, on that note, if you drop Markram, who's your captain? No one else,
Yeah, exactly. Who do you captain? KG is probably the captain. Sir.
Yeah, but still, I
Or
mean, KG as a
Marat comes
captain,
back in as
really.
captain. But I mean,
Yeah.
yeah, you got no senior players there to take up reins. I mean, when the full strength side is back, yes, then you'll have Kesh, you'll have Klaassen could
Miller.
probably take over the captaincy. Miller could probably do it as well. But I mean, like tours like this where it was probably more of a learning experience for the players rather than a series where they were going to win. There you'll look to a guy like Markram because of his experience and his captain at domestic level. He's done quite successfully with South Africa as well. So I mean, he's someone that's probably going to be in that side for a long time, and they're going to keep persisting with him, which is fine because like Saru says, it's a form thing. We've seen him perform before. It's not like one of those things where it's a hope and pray, and we haven't seen anything from him, and we're just hoping for the best. But I think he's fine on the side. It's just one of those things at the
I
moment.
agree. But moving forward in any series, I don't want to hear anything about players being rested anymore. You select your team, your squad, and it's on merit. I mean, I don't understand. If you want to try players, you try two or three. I mean, you don't bring in like eight players into the squad and say we're in a transitional period. I mean, they haven't given us a lot of reasoning why all these players are rested. If it's purely because of the amount of cricket that they played, then it's back to our original argument. They all played in the Canadian T20 World, sorry, not World Cup, T20 competition. Some of them played in Sri Lanka, MLC, all of those competitions, and then you're resting them in these kind of series. And it's
Makes
one
no
or two I
sense.
can understand, but it's half your first choice squad.
But
I
I
mean,
don't
I
understand this
yeah.
resting thing. They're playing these T20 tournaments and stuff. The maximum they're bowling is 4 overs in a game. You're out in the field for 20 overs. I mean, you used to play 5 test match series. You used to
Literally.
bowl, 25 overs in a day. And you were fine to
I'll
play
give
during the
KG a
test.
break. I mean, he
Yeah,
bowled
KG
a
is
lot of
fine.
overs
But he's the
in the
one that's
Test
never
series.
rested. I mean, now he has been, but he's the one that's always there. And in general, South African cricketers should never have an issue with playing more cricket. They play amongst the least cricket from all the big sides in the world.
Exactly.
And
We
even
play
less
like Nicholas
tests.
Puran, like all the competitions that he's played, his teams have made it quite far in semi-finals, finals, and he was ready to play. I mean, what gives South
Yeah.
Africa
I don't understand it.
the tap on the shoulder that, oh no, we need a rest?
I think it goes back to what we were saying last week, though, to be fair. When we said that there's this disconnect between Shukri, Rob, CSA, and the rest of the business, they don't have a plan. It's glaringly obvious that, yeah, it's mindless. We're gonna end up harping on the same thing, but I would hope that at some point in the near future, this stops. There needs to be foresight. Or well, otherwise, come the Champions Trophy, things are not going to look good at all. We're going to be playing a bunch of old players and hoping.
Yeah, I mean, I'm all for trying, like I was saying, trying new players, but you need a bit of balance with experience. And when I mean experience, I don't mean a guy like Rassie van der Dussen. I mean a guy like Klaassen, who's dominated at this level, who's in great form, who can actually, he knows his place in the side is secure, and he doesn't have to worry about anything. He can pass knowledge on to younger players. Whereas a guy like Van der Dusen, he didn't make it into the T20 World Cup squad. So he sees this as same as the young players, as an opportunity to perform. So he's more stressed about his performances rather than passing on any knowledge or all that kind of stuff. So, you know, I'm all for, you know, we spoke about it last week, getting new players into the side. But, I mean, that bowling lineup was so inexperienced. There's no one there to, I mean, if you, especially again, you know, bowling to a guy like Nicholas Puran, you disappear for 3 6 in a row. Everywhere you turn, everyone's probably hiding their face. They don't know what to tell you because they have no experience about it. They don't know how to come back from, you know, this kind of onslaught from the batsman. There's no advice being given to you by senior bowlers or anything like that. So, you know, pick maybe two senior bowlers, pick three junior bowlers, or you know what I mean? Like, split it up like that, where as you've got an entirely new bowling lineup that, you know, you can only get disheartened by that. I mean, I don't see the value in going there and getting smashed. I don't understand. You're not learning it.
It's quite sad for Quena that he's come into, I mean, his first series, he's walked into a setup where there's absolutely no senior heads to kind of guide him. Whenever he got pumped, he looked around and he saw, what, Lazard Williams. What is he going to tell you?
Well, yeah.
Not much more. He's played a few T20s himself. He doesn't have the international experience to kind of guide a young player. And you would love to see someone like Quena, who is supremely talented, clocking 150 Ks.
Yeah. And the way he bowled, it feels like the bowlers, the more senior bowlers were looking to him for advice because he was the only one that actually, you know, showed anything of substance. So
yeah. Well, he got pumped here and there, but that is inexperience. He was still the one that was running in. Yeah. Everybody else was hiding.
Yeah. No, I agree.
Okay, so with the series now over and the entire series with the test series also finished, we're going to do a little quick segment. Red card, green card. Each person gets a red card to send someone away from South African cricket forever. Tell us who you don't want to see again. And then a green card as a sign of approval to give it to a player to say, yeah, you'd like to see him going forward. We'll start off with our guy Coombs, since he hasn't been here for a while. Red card.
For red card, I think it's going to be Riza. We've given him enough chances, time to experiment and use whatever series we got going forward for someone up top, someone new. So Riza must
hop
off. In terms of the person to keep, the next best thing, I have to go with Stubbs because he's young, he's got a lot of potential, very versatile. You can play him 3, 4, 5, 6. And he can roll his arm over as well. So I think give him a green card, yeah.
And he can keep.
Oh, well, yeah. Keep as well. Yeah.
For me, my red card is Donovan Ferreira. I think he did nothing on this tour. He's done nothing since I've seen him in the South African side. We know he hits a long ball, but, you know, that's not enough. That's definitely not enough. The performances haven't been great, haven't been consistent. I think the step up to international cricket is just one level too high. And, you know, I think in those domestic leagues, he'll do well because you've got, in those domestic, generally, you've got two or three bowlers that are of real quality, and then you've got another two or three bowlers that you can really have a go. When it's a full-strength bowling lineup, he'll struggle, and we saw that in this series and previous series as well. So I think his time... his experiment is done. The guy to keep, I think, for me, it's Mark Parker. I think he's done well. Young boy in the side. Really quick. You know, listening to the commentary, guys like Ian Bishop and stuff like that, who have spoken to him already, they said he's someone that really thinks about the game and is very mature for his age. I mean, that can only bode well for South African cricket. And, you know, same school as KG, and apparently they're quite close, and KG offers him a lot of advice, and it seems like he's taking it on board. I think he'll be a good addition to South Africa's bowling lineup going forward, and it also helps that he's a lefty as well, so that's quite cool. So those are my two picks.
Cool.
Red card, I'm gonna go Rassie. He's had his chance. He wasn't good enough to make the World Cup squad. I don't see why we should try and give him a chance to get back into the team. I'd rather give young players a chance, Jason Smith and the likes. Green card, I'm going to go Patrick Kruger. He hasn't done anything to say that he shouldn't be there. He did all that he could in the series. I would definitely have him over Vian Mulder. So Mulder also had his chances in the test matches. He did well. But when we're speaking specifically T20, I'd have Patrick Kruger and Marco Jansen as our all-rounders for now. He did well.
For me, the red card, I don't know, people might think it's a bit harsh, but beyond 14, I think he offers you nothing. He's done really well domestically, but he's never performed. Okay, he hasn't gotten a lot of chances, but he's never looked like someone that is going to turn a game for you. Shamsi has his issues as a spinner for us, but 14, I really don't think he has the sounds harsh, but I really don't think he has the skills to make it on the international stage. From the green card perspective, I'm going to go back to what we were saying earlier, and I think I'll fall into my own trap here. We're going to give Rickleton as much of a chance as we can. I think he definitely deserves a shot based on his domestic performances and prolonged runs of form that he's gone on in the past. So yeah, that's green card, red card. We picked a few that we want to disappear, or at least not make the T20 side in the near future, and a few green cards that we'd love to see going forward. Now, we're going to do one more quick thing before we get to Fireflies. Just a simple question. What do you guys make of Jay Shah becoming president of the ICC? What does this mean for the Champions Trophy in Pakistan? Is it still going to happen? Is it going to be moved to India?
I don't think India are going to go if it really happens in Pakistan. I don't think India are going to go and play and just accept a big L. I was surprised by that. I don't know what to make of it. When I saw Jay Shah,
he was India's cricket savior, and now he's taken a step up. Now, with all of my previous chat about India colluding with the big boss is their own now.
Pretty much. I don't think they're going to go. That Champions Trophy, I think, was doomed from the start. There's a lot of cricket going on. You know, you've got World Cup every 2 years with the 50 over and the 20 over, and then you've got, the Test Championship that they have to worry about, and then obviously all these domestic leagues that are around the world. I think that Champions Trophy was going to be doomed from the start. There's just too much cricket on the go, and now that Jay Shah is in charge, I don't think it's worth it for India to even bother. I think they'll probably not go, or like you mentioned, they might move it to India, but that's another issue on its own.
Yeah, that's a big issue.
People weren't happy about the way India's semi-finals were sort of constructed. Then now that they're moving the entire tournament to suit them, I don't know if that will.
Yeah.
That'll go. I mean, as big as cricket is in India, I think Australians and the English will have a lot to say.
So we're going to end off with FIFA today. So as it stands in FIFA currently, Coombs leads the way with a point percentage of 90%. He's missed a lot of recent time. Divi sits second with 53% after a poor showing last week. And Kuv is currently, he's gone up from 30% to 40%. So as per our FIFA World Test Championship standings, Coombs is well and truly in the lead. Now the non-ball...
I need to go, guys, because I realize now that if I play, I can only pick it up from your
91. I was like, I honestly thought you had to leave.
So, I'd rather just take it back because, 91%.
Some good facial expressions there. Well done.
So the non-FIFA question for today... The cricketer with the most test match appearances for South Africa is Jacques Kallis. How many appearances did he make?
164.
Okay. Divesh went 164.
149
from Kov.
175.
So, Divesh is the winner. And my oh my, it was 166. That was almost 166. On the head. So
I read that the other day. That's why.
Oh, wild. So the order for today then is, of course, Divi gets the easiest question. Then it will be Coombs, then Kov, and the same for Steels. So for Divi then, the first question, and an easy one, I would think. Can you name the top five batsmen with the most runs in ODIs?
Okay, Virat is there.
Number three, ding ding, Virat Kohli.
Sachin
Tendulkar, number one, ding ding.
Mahela Jha Warner.
Mahela Jowadne is number six.
Okay, let's go. Let's go with this Chomi Kumar Sangakkara.
Kumar Sangakkara, number two. Ding, ding.
So that's the top three done, right? So then we've got Pish, now we've got problems. Let's go Ricky Ponting.
Ricky Ponting, number four. Ding, ding.
And let's go for the last one. Someone who's played a lot of games but may not have the most runs. I would go Chris Gayle.
Nope, Chris Gayle is not it. That is your bouncer's bounced.
Let's go Rohit Sharma.
Rohit Sharma is also, he's further down, he's about 10th. So we'll come to Combs then with a steal.
David Warner.
David Warner is not quite high up there, so Kuv then.
Hayden.
Matthew Hayden is not it. So number five is Sanath Jayasurya.
Oh, so we did a lot of games. Damn, man.
We danced all around that. Jayasurya ended with 13,430 runs. Top man, Sachin Tendulkar, 18,426. Kumar, 14,234. Kohli, 13,906. So big runs there, big boys. So that was, of course, the easiest one. Divi got four, of course, no steals. So then for Kums, the medium question, so to say, can you name the top five batsmen that were the fastest to 8,000 runs in ODIs?
Pash.
Ashim Mamla, number two. Ding, ding.
Kohli.
Virat Kohli, number one. Ding, ding.
Chris Gayle.
First miss.
Tendulkar.
Sachin Tendulkar is number seven. Way. That's two bounces. You got one more.
Sangakkara.
Kumar Sangakkara is a number way down somewhere. Not it. So you got Kohli and Hash, number one and two. Shit, boys to steal. Divi comes to it first.
I'm going to go Viv Richard.
Not it. Kuf?
I'm going to go David Warner.
Not it as well. Whoa,
can I go again?
No. Unfortunately, no. So, number three, AB de Villiers. Number four, Sourav Ganguly. Number five, Rohit Sharma. it doesn't change the fact that that is what the answer is.
No, I wouldn't have said Rohit or Sourav. Rohit, they gave him too many chances in the beginning. So I would have thought enough. He took forever to get there.
Number six, interestingly enough, like, Ross Taylor, I think. Yeah, Ross Taylor.
Oh, wow. Again, Ross. What?
Yeah, he's done things. I
wouldn't have said him either.
So I would have thought that the last question, which is for Kuv, was actually harder just based on what the options are.
For you,
the question
maybe.
Then for Kuv. Can you name the top five players with the most dismissals in ODIs? And that obviously means any type of dismissal, like catches and stumpings.
I was going to say Dhoni first.
Okay, so you got number three, Mahendra Singh Dhoni. Ding, ding.
Okay. Adam Gilchrist.
Adam Gilchrist, number two. Ding, ding.
Sangakkara.
Kumar Sangakkara, number one, ding, ding.
Has Butler kept a lot?
Let's go Josh Butler. Josh Butler is number seven.
Boucher.
Mark Boucher, number four. Ding, ding.
So it's the last one.
Yep.
Let's go. No, but McCollum didn't keep that much, eh? Which other countries?
All right, we're going to count you down. So there's a
potential steal. Yeah, count me down.
Five. Four. Three. Two. One. And your answer is?
Nah, blanking.
So we're going to take McCollum as the other option because that's the last one you said.
McCollum
is number eight. Brendan McCollum is number eight. So, Divi to steal?
I'm going to go with someone who's probably been the keeper for a long time. I'm going to go with Mushfikir Rahim.
That is number five. Ding, ding, ding.
No way. No way.
What on earth? I never expected you to get that one. That's a good one. Okay, so
yeah, no, I was blanking on the countries, let alone the keeper.
And then when you said McCallum was eight and he didn't even keep that much, I was like, oh no, Mushfikir.
That's to be someone long serving. Yeah. So as it ends there, Divi actually ends up with five because he stole one. Kuv ends with three after one was stolen from him. He's actually been a huge loser to the whole steal thing. Every week it seems like something gets stolen. And then and then Combs ends with two out of his five. So the updated leaderboard is on screen. And of course, this will continue for some time. Yeah, so boys, FIFA are going decently. It's getting a bit tighter now that Combs came back to sabotage himself in his own words, basically. But yeah, the next time that South Africa play cricket is against Afghanistan in ODI series in Sharjah, all three matches there. That is on the 18th, 20th and 22nd of September, if I'm not mistaken. And then we follow that up with a series against Ireland in Abu Dhabi. A couple of T20s in the mix and a couple of ODIs as well. In between, there's a fair bit of cricket going on. England, Sri Lanka, some CPL action and a bits and bobs of others. And we will discuss those going forward until South Africa play again. Any closing words from you boys?
Don't steal from me next week.
Kums, are we likely to see you anytime soon? Now that you messed it up? Why?
The thing up, but yeah. yeah.
That's a good close.
No, I'll be around, excited.
So if you did enjoy this one and the FIFA and the red card, green card and all of that, let us know in the comments. Don't forget to like and subscribe and also check us out in all the audio platforms. But until the next one, please take care. Don't forget to pour shots and cheers.